today we are chatting with Tabitha Larson of
Demon Tarja Enigmatica Visual Arts.
So what does that mean?
Actually, my husband came up with the name for that, and he got it from, like, demented, because my art is kind of on the darker, kind of weird side, an enigma. So he kind of put those together and came up with a name for me, because I'm terrible at that. So.
I gotcha. Pull your mic a little closer to your mouth, and you can even move it down a little. Move it so it's, you want it kind of where mine is.
Oh.
Yeah, and then you can move it up if you need to.
Like
just
that?
Just be comfortable.
Okay.
Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you're a visual artist, and what does your art entail? Like, how would you describe it?
Very surreal, on the darker side most of the time. I do lighter stuff as well. Actually, I've been asked to do some children's illustrations for a book. So that has to obviously stay in the PG side of things, more whimsical.
Yeah, your art's not PG, though. So how's that going to work?
I put a couple of things up. It's more on the scary story. Do you know the Scary Stories books?
No.
You should look them up. The illustrations are kind of creepy, but they're not graphic.
So your art is pretty dark. So when you're doing something like a children's book, do you feel like restricted? Do you kind of feel like there's an itch that you need to scratch and you can't?
Actually, I have a few times, but then I just kind of take a step back and I realize, well, this has to stay this way, and I'll take that inspiration and I'll put it towards another piece that's not meant for that.
That's healthy. So I like your mindset. That's fabulous. So how old were you when you started? You're drawing, but is it like, are you using watercolor, ink? What are you using?
I start out with a sketch, just pencil. Most of the time when I have an idea already in place, if I'm doing something where I have no idea what I want to do, I just want to do something, I'll throw coffee onto a piece of paper and I let it dry. And then I come back and I look at it while I'm still in that feeling, and I'll ink whatever I see in the coffee stains. And then I'll come back with acrylic and I'll color in the colors.
Okay,
after.
Where'd you learn that technique?
I kind of borrowed it from an artist online that I saw on YouTube who was using coffee to paint. And I thought, well, what if I just took this a step further and just threw it down on a paper and, you know, just decided to look at it later. And I saw like a weird little monster and I started drawing it.
That's like amazing. I'm going to start painting with coffee.
It's fun.
Yeah, well, it kind of... it's almost spiritual.
It is.
Like it's almost like you're like that spiritual aspect of you guiding you.
Right. It's almost like you're taking all the negative thoughts and emotions out of yourself and you're putting them on this paper and you have no idea what's in there till it comes out.
Yeah. You're letting the coffee guide you.
Yeah.
I let coffee guide me every morning.
Right.
Not with my,
oh, trust me. It's really gross when I have my cup of coffee I'm drinking out of, and I got my art coffee, and I accidentally drink out of my art coffee, and that's great.
Yeah. I've done that, or I'll stick my brush in my coffee when I'm painting.
And it's terrible.
Yeah. So you were really young when you started?
Yes. Actually, I don't really remember a time where I never thought about art.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my first memories are of making little cartoon flip books, and I always wanted to work for Disney. That was anytime anybody would be like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was like, an illustrator for Disney, you know, and I just kind of held on to that.
What are your favorite Disney movies? Like, what was inspiring to you?
Oh my gosh. Fox and the Hound, Sleeping Beauty, Robin Hood, Lady and the Tramp.
Were you into The Little Mermaid at all with the evil witch?
I actually did really like her.
Yeah.
The Last Unicorn, not Disney, but that one was very big in my life. So
yeah, I used to watch when we had VHS.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just watch those movies on rerun over and
me
over
too.
And over. I had like three that I would go back and forth between. So I can see that in your work, but it's not. It's like Disney took a bad hit of acid or something. It's crazy. It's amazing, actually. I love it. I was just like, I was looking at your work and I'm like, man, like, how does she think of this stuff? So where does that come from?
Oh, I don't like, I don't really know. Honestly, I'm obviously not on acid when I do it.
That's
but...
okay. I didn't think you were.
But, I just think about things that normally don't go together or things that should, that I think would go together, like nature and our bodies, you know, I feel like they're combined.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of put a visual representation to that in
my
own
life. Are you like, what are the activities that you're performing when the inspiration hits?
I'll be listening to music a lot. And I'll get inspired by that, or out for a walk,
mm-hmm.
or my children, past experiences. If I have a thought going through my head, and I'll just, you know, say, you know what, I'm going to put that on paper, you know. It's really frustrating if I get inspired and I can't do it at the time, mm-hmm. and I have to hold on to that for a while because I want to put it down. So.
Oh, I totally get
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Susan DeMay of Made by DeMay Ceramics. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what is the creative process when you are working with slab? Just run me through that, like if you're making a piece.
Well, I look at architecture. I look at my friend's work. I look at other art forms, or I look at historical ceramics. Like there's a school of art and design called the Memphis style. And it's very contemporary, and it's rather asymmetrical, and it uses this bright colors, and it usually is focused on furniture being sculptural or glassworks being sculptural. So I look to that as a source of inspiration. I also like some of the things I see in steampunk, which is a kind of trend, and it incorporates nature and industrial aesthetics together. So I look to the outside world for inspiration in those types of wares.
And then how do you create what you're doing?
Well, I have a slab roller, which looks a little bit like a wringer washer, not that maybe everybody knows mm-hmm. what that is,
yeah.
but it's two rollers, and you push a flat piece of clay through the rollers to get a perfectly even slab. And you can do the piece pretty large. And I usually do a very large piece, and my slab constructions are a little bit larger than the typical vessel shape and size. And then I use templates sometimes, or I wrap it around a roller, or I press it into a mold. And from there, I incorporate textures and various appendages.
Okay. And then you paint it?
Well, people have a misconception about how glazes are applied. I do very little painting of glazes. I do mostly, like, for the inside, I'll pour in a large cupful and swirl it around and then pour it out, covering the whole interior. And then the outside might be dipped if the bucket is big enough, or it might be splashed, or it might be poured, and then maybe some of the details are brushed. But on my production wares, most of those designs are created through pouring and wax resist.
Mm.
So I'll do a glaze background, do a wax pattern on top of it, and then do a second glaze over that. That's how the flowers are done, and that's how the trees are done in my landscape.
I always thought it was brushwork. See?
Yeah, no, really, it's very little brushwork.
Mm. It's interesting.
With brushwork, you don't get a nice even coat.
Mm.
You see the splotchiness of the brush strokes.
Gotcha.
With pouring, you get a nice even coat.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Well, we appreciate you coming out today. It was a pleasure talking to you, and I'd love to hear your story and get to know you better. So thank you so much.
All right, my pleasure.
So would you say that living in the Upper Cumberland influences your work at all?
Actually, yeah. Hiking is lovely. When I was a teenager, actually my first introduction to art shows was here in Cookeville, the Reba Bacon art show, which I won second place in high school. Nice. So I kind of got more interested in that side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, I was kind of anti-school, anti-everything, and that kind of really influenced me to push forward.
Yeah. Did you struggle in school?
I was AB honor roll, but I didn't want to be. I was a big procrastinator. I didn't want to do anything but art. So
the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be really hard on myself too, because I'm, you know, the way I was brought up, you were supposed to get good grades, and
mm-hmm.
and I just didn't care.
Exactly.
I was like, this is total BS. This isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not able to channel what I really want to do.
Exactly.
And I think, if you have a teenager, you probably grew up when I did, but people weren't taking a career in art very seriously.
No.
Not at all. Now with social media, we have a platform and there's more art shows. And then I don't know how involved you are in the art community here, but there's a huge art community here in Cookeville.
Yes.
That I didn't know existed. So it's pretty fantastic. So everybody supports one another and I don't know, it just works.
Yeah, actually, I mean, that's really great. Like running into your husband at the...
Bookstore.
The Books a Million. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, she paints, I paint too. And it just kind of got me thinking about how, I don't know, supportive the art community is now, especially. You see artists popping up everywhere, mm-hmm. just offering help and supporting each other. It's great.
Yeah, we have the, and then we have a lot of graduates from the Appalachian Center for Craft.
Mm-hmm.
And they're growing the artist community here as well. So it's a nice little community. So what are some of the tools that you work with when you create?
Okay, the majority of the time when I'm sitting down to create something, I always have coffee with me because
mm-hmm.
I love using that color. It's become a staple of mine.
Are you drinking it too?
I am drinking it too.
Okay,
yeah.
Just checking.
Drink, yeah. Gotta have it.
Yeah, okay.
My four cups.
Gotcha.
That, I have my paints. I have my ink pens, and I just turn on some music and I go.
How long does it usually take you to create a piece?
Lately it's taken, like, are we talking hours or?
Well, like when you do a piece from start to finish.
I would say my more complicated pieces take about 7 to 8 hours. I would say to complete.
Are you doing it for 7-8 hours straight?
No.
Are you breaking it up?
No, I have to break it up.
How long can you draw and then you're like, I'm done?
Honestly, if I could do it for the full 7, I would.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to break away, but I have to. So. Mm-hmm.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
I can usually do like 4.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to stop and live life.
Yeah.
How would you brand your style of art?
I would say surreal,
mm-hmm.
Along the lines. I would say Dolly is a big, you know.
Oh my gosh, yes, that just like clicked. Yes,
he is a big inspiration to me, and
yes,
always has been.
Absolutely. Any other artists or just him?
Van Gogh. I really look up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even Simone. You know, just things like that.
Yeah. So what is your all time favorite piece that you've created, and why?
Oh. As of right now, my all-time favorite piece would have to be the piece called The Mother Siren,
mm-hmm.
Because we went to Florida to the Dolly Museum, and I got super inspired after that, and I sat down, and that was probably a piece that took me about 10 hours
mm-hmm.
from start to finish, and it was a very, very large piece. I sold it.
Yay.
Yeah, but it was hard to let go.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. And I still miss it.
Can you describe the piece?
Okay, it's kind of hard. Mother Siren, she is kind of a mythical beast in the shape of a lady underwater. She's holding her hand up, inviting men to come in to her city above the water.
Mm.
So
that's pretty cool.
And feel free to check it out on my Facebook page. It's really...
Yeah.
My favorite piece.
Yeah. Your Facebook page did not disappoint. That's for sure.
Helping guide you on the path to a new craft. It's your art on the scene.
I am with Maggie Sunsera of Forest Gems, and Maggie specializes in silk art. We've got a couple of really beautiful pieces here, so describe, first of all, if somebody gets one of your pieces, what they're getting.
They're getting a hand-dyed piece of material, wearable art is what I call it.
Tell us the process behind your silk pieces.
I do a silk-to-silk transfer on scarves, so I'm actually taking silk scraps and laying them on a silk blank scarf. Then I'm wrapping them up and cooking them for 2 hours in a vinegar water bath. And when I'm done, the silk color transfers to the blank silk scarf so that you have an array of colors that will mix right next to each other. I can have a red and a yellow, but they will not blend in together with this process. I also do an ice dyeing process, and I'll do that on silk or bamboo rayon, where I take a scarf outside and lay it on a screen, pour ice all over it, and then I'll sprinkle powdered dye on it. And with that, as the ice melts, it forms its own design in the scarf itself.
So is that the one that has like the floral type pattern to it?
I call it a Monet painting.
It looks like a Monet painting. And then how does one wear these scarves?
Okay. You can wear them as just like a man's tie. You can also fold it twice over as a loop and just pull the ends through, or you can pull one end through, twist the loop, and pull another end through. They also work well as table runners.
Well, I see you have a table runner on here right now, and it looks lovely. And she has a lot of soft colors, and then she's got some blue and white patterns. And these in length, how long do you say one of these is?
They are all 6 feet. Some may be a little longer than 6 feet.
So you have lots of options with what you can do with them, because they have plenty of length on them, and they're beautiful, and they would go well with any type of clothing.
They also work well as a good head wrap.
Yeah, I could see that too. Well, thank you so much, and where can we find your work?
My work is on display at the Art Center in Cannon County.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you.
Are any of the people that have inspired you in any of your work, like when you're drawing a person, a woman, is she strictly coming out of your imagination or using any reference?
Actually, I've turned my husband into a woman in a few of my paintings.
Nice.
So, I mean, there was one night we were just laying there and I saw him on his phone. And I was like, stay there, don't move. And I just sketched him and he turned into a lady laying in a tree. You know, it was fun. But my children, they're in a few of my sketches.
What's their role in your sketches?
Usually they turn into like little monsters or fairy creatures, you know, little things, they love it.
So tell me about this children's book and what's the story about, if you can share that. I don't know if you can share.
I can share the basis. Like, you know, it's basically the guy who came to me, his mother had two imaginary friends when she was a child. So she wanted to turn them into a children's book. And basically the two imaginary friends come to a bored little girl and take her on an adventure.
Ooh, I love it.
Yeah, to like the moon and fighting dragons and stuff. And, you know, fairy tale stuff is up my alley. So I really enjoyed doing it.
How far have you gotten with it so far?
I have 9 illustrations so far. I'm waiting to hear more word from the publisher, and we will continue after that. So
how did you find this person that asked you to do this?
Actually, we found him through a music group. It's a group called the Mushroom Cult, and the reason it's called that is because of a band called Dog Fashion Disco, and that's one of their songs.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, that's how I found him. They're all really a close group of people, and they're really great.
So how would you differentiate what you're doing for the children's book to your normal day in the studio?
Honestly, it's not much different, just less graphic.
Gotcha.
So
just more G-rated?
Yeah.
Is it G
more
or
Disney
PG or PG-13?
PG, PG. I would say PG.
PG.
They're very innocent. Balloons and
nice.
No skulls.
No skulls. Fairy wings.
And the witch is smiling.
Oh, that's
so
good. What does the witch look like? Just curious.
She is kind of in a cloak. She's holding the little girl in her hand, and the little girl's offering her flowers.
Is she like a traditional witch? Does she have like a witch hat?
No. She's in like a plague doctor kind of cloak. She's kind of wrinkled, and she has kind of claw-like hands.
Is she a white witch or a dark witch?
She's a dark witch.
Okay.
Gotcha. But, yeah.
So is the storybook more dark or?
Well, no, it's lighthearted. But with my art, it's kind of hard to, you know, not put that in there a little bit. But I think I did a good job with putting a little glimmer of like happiness in there along with my style.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We don't want the children to be sad
right.
when they read the book.
Right.
We want them to feel good. we want to read it before bedtime. Perhaps.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And not have to sleep with a parent.
Exactly.
For the next 30 nights. All right. And so where can people find your work?
You can find it through Facebook at
say the name again.
Dementaria Enigmatica. And if you need me to spell that, I'm a very terrible speller, but
you can do it.
DEMENTARIA ENIGMATICA.
Awesome. And do you have Instagram or just doing Facebook?
I am just doing Facebook at the moment. I have a personal Instagram if you want to follow me on there. It's at Cole Tabitha. If it's Cole Tabitha, I-T-H-A.
And you have your art on there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. And do you do any shows?
I haven't in a very long time, but I do sell art out of a shop in Norfolk, Virginia. And I actually met her here in Tennessee, and she sells my art in her shop. So.
Fabulous. Awesome. What's that shop called?
It's called Quixotic.
Okay.
It's cool. It's kind all of another hard name.
Yeah, that's all right. It's okay. It's part of the creative process.
It
really.
It is.
And it's part of branding yourself and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
how it goes. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tabitha. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Justin Hurst of Journeyman Marble Works. That kind of rhymes. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Thank you so much for coming out and interviewing with us. So you specialize in blown glass marbles. Is that how you would describe it, or would you describe it differently?
It's borosilicate lamp working, okay. But it's still a form of glass blowing.
All right. It's so you brought some here today to the studio, and I'm absolutely amazed with these. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before. They're incredibly beautiful. They are marbles, but then like with blown glass designs inside, and they're fantastic. You even have a kaleidoscope here, which is I don't know how other to describe it than absolutely mind blowing. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
When did you get a start working with glass? Where did that happen?
Kind of led into, originally I was a machinist, and that's where the journeyman name came from. But it started about eight or nine years ago. I would just play with a little hothead torch and just melt little broken pieces of glass that I found and did little beads and stuff on arc welding rods. And, It stuck with me.
Did you receive training anywhere? Did you have like an apprentice? No, you just were like, I'm going to get things really hot and make shapes with them and things like that?
Yeah, originally I was a journeyman machinist, and I paid my way through trade school at 16. And by the time I was about 21, I had an ex-fiance put me about 30 grand in debt.
Uh-oh.
Lost everything, homeless for a little while, and it just completely changed my perspective on the world.
Yeah.
So...
So you're like, now I'm just going to be an artist and do what I want to do.
Yeah, it was just something I was doing in spare time. And once I started getting to the point of where I was comfortable selling some of it, then I just went with it. And I've been doing that mostly full time for about 8 years now.
How can I find your work if I want to get something online from you? Where would I go?
I have a website that's Journeyman Marble Works with an X, and that's .com. And then I have a Facebook page and an Instagram page.
Awesome. Are you going to look into selling in any other online avenues, or does Instagram and Facebook work pretty well for you?
I'll pretty much just keep it at that.
Yeah.
And I have the page just to help with sales because mm-hmm. taking care of grandpa is a full-time job as it is.
Well, good. Good for you. These marbles would add some serious value to your life if you purchased one of these. They are absolutely gorgeous. And every time you look at them, you see something new, and they have a lot of dimension and depth, and they're just like my mind is blown. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you coming out today.
Appreciation's appreciated.